Luke chapter 2, and we are going through a series, and I enjoy Christmas time and Thanksgiving opportunities to get into the Word of God and look at some focused direction. And let me actually do one thing here real quick. Bear with me. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to start the recording here. All right. Luke chapter 2, when we have an opportunity at Christmas and Thanksgiving, we have an opportunity to look at things maybe that we would overlook if we didn't have these holidays. And one, I love Thanksgiving. I love the opportunity to spend a few weeks, and we certainly did that in November, looking at being thankful, and I hope that you can come into the holiday season with a thankful heart. I'm glad that Thanksgiving is right before Christmas, because if not, we would just be filled up with materialism and just all the stuff we can. But before all that, we looked at being thankful, and if we get nothing out of Christmas, we should still be thankful. And I was sharing with the Sunday school class how God allowed my van to break down and the heater core went out, and praise the Lord that we can be thankful for a van that has a heater core. Amen. And because I am now, and we're going to pick it up tomorrow. It's all fixed and repaired, and I'm grateful that there's a mechanic that had the right tools to do it. Is what I'm grateful for. I didn't have all the tools to get the hose off, and so we've got to find thankfulness. But you know, one of the things about coming into Christmas, we have an opportunity to look at the Christmas message from different angles, different directions, and maybe gather some things that we would miss normally. Now, last week, we have a three-part series that we began last week. We looked at the announcing of a Savior. And today, we're going to be looking at the attending to a Savior. The next week, I want to encourage you come and maybe bring a visitor. It's the Sunday before Christmas. We're going to be looking at the gift of a Savior, looking at the preciousness of the gift that Jesus Christ brought to this earth. Certainly it's a message that would be good for the saved, but very much so for the unsaved as they can come and be a part. I was speaking with somebody last night who was talking about when they got saved, and got saved at 74 years of age. Praise God for people that will listen. And, you know, he was religious. He had been in church. He was raised with the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the Bible. But did you know that there are people that know God but do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior? And that would be a perfect person to bring to our services next Sunday. Any Sunday is a good Sunday, of course. But next Sunday, gift of a Savior. And so today, we're going to be looking at the title of the message is the attending to a Savior, attending to Christ. And we're going to be looking at that made up the Christmas story. So let's look at Luke chapter 2. And you're already there, so let me get where I'm supposed to be. And we're going to look at a couple of people that really God put into the passage to give us instructions. And it says in the Word of God, it says, "And it came to pass in those days," verse number one, "that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall he be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law and the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy words. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for me, prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those sayings which were spoken of. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rise again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and lived with her and husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow for about 40 and 4 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God, fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Let's pray on these that attended to Christ. Heavenly Father, we look to this birth. We think of the attendants that were there at the time of Jesus' birth and his first few days. Those that, God, you chose to record. You put them in the Bible for a reason for us to pay attention to. This Christmas, though Jesus Christ is over 2,000 years from his birth, maybe we could have the characteristics of these attendants, these people, these beings that were there on that first Christmas day. Lord, give us an understanding heart and bless us now, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We read a lot of passages there because I wanted us to not just have the normal Christmas story. We know of Joseph, we know of Mary, the shepherds, we look at those. But there are many that were a part of the Christmas story, those like Simeon, those like the angel, those like Anna that were there on the first few days and were a part of this amazing event, this Christmas story as we will. The characters that God records in the Bible, in the Word of God, were placed there to reveal a message that God wants us to get today. You realize that? When we read the Bible, God could have put anything in the Bible. He could have recorded anything. And when we look at this, we certainly know that there was many more stories that God could not put in the Bible. The Bible says if all the acts of Jesus were recorded, the world itself could not hold the books. So God had to specific things to record, specific things to learn from. And every character that we see here today is important for us to celebrate our Christmas. Now, I know that we have, for some of us, we're maybe a little older than others, some are younger, doesn't matter, but we've all had a Christmas or two. I think of Joshua, my youngest is 9. Christmas is exciting time for a 9-year-old, isn't it? Remember those days? Some of you probably don't, right? Nope, don't remember, 9 years old. Joshua cannot wait for Christmas to get here. He's disappointed his Christmas party is not before the teenagers. Amen? He says, I can't wait that long. Amen? Can't wait for Christmas. He's ready to open presents now. But the older we get, the longer we live our life, we know that Christmas is much more than what's under the Christmas tree. And I think the older we get, the more we can realize that there's much to be learned about the Christmas story than just what our media and the people in our society are telling us about. Christmas is not about Santa Claus. I know that's a shocker. I like Christmas movies. Any Christmas fans? Anybody in here? I've got a few. As soon as Thanksgiving happens, we turn on Christmas movies. That's the gate opening. I think we cheated this year, and we sang some Christmas songs before Thanksgiving. But we try to let Thanksgiving be Thanksgiving, then we open it up. And I like Christmas. And I have been known to watch a movie about Santa Claus. Now, I have gotten liberal in that. In the early years when I was younger, we wouldn't allow even to say the word Santa Claus. And now I'm working through that. Amen. But I like Christmas movies. But you know what? The more I study Christmas, the more it's all about Christ. It's not about what we can get or what we can gain or really even who we can give gifts to. You know, Christmas will happen whether we give a gift or not. It's what we do in our hearts that's so important. And that's why the looks at Christmas are so vital, looking at who attended to Christ. And so this morning, we're going to take a few moments to look at some of the characters. Not all of them. I didn't include Caesar or the governors of that day. But we're going to look at some of the characters that I believe will help us to make Christmas special. First one I want us to look at this morning is the angels. We see that there was a great multitude of angels that appeared at the calling of Christ. And if we look to verse 9 through 12, it says, And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And we see here that these angels brought the message, and they were an integral part of the story. And what could we learn from these angels? Well, this is some of what we learned last week. We learned that they call on us to fear not. You know, sometimes this world can be a fearful place. We could look at the problems of the day, and last night I went into the party not knowing. I didn't realize that there was a tornadoes in the Midwest and back east, and I didn't realize the problems that had happened in our country at that time. I spent some time last night looking into it, looking at some of the sights and some of the scenery and some of the things that happened. You know, there's a lot of fear that could be in this world. There's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of things that we don't understand. There's a lot of things that maybe bring a trembling to our heart. And certainly these shepherds, as they sat there that one night, they in their quiet fields with their sheep that were all sitting down, all of a sudden a bright light happened in their presence. And they, it had them disturbed a little bit. Amen. I'm sure they thought the world was ending right then. But the message that the angels brought was one of fear not. Today I want to let us know that though the trials in our life may be difficult at times, though the bright lights of this world might shine, that there's always a God in heaven that says, fear not, I've got it under control. We learned that in Sunday school just this morning about Job going through his trials, and the message was, don't lose focus on God, don't lose focus on what God's doing, fear not. See, the angels brought us hope. And fear not. The angels also said glory to God. I'm glad that the angels were included in the Christmas story. We see that in verse 9, And lo, the angel came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And skipping down, it says, verse number 14, Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I'm glad there's an angel that pronounced that God's glory to the people of earth. Glory to God. Today, if Christmas draws closer, maybe we should look to God and praise God for His glory. Praise God for the fact of who God is and what He's done in this world. Praise God that He's offered us salvation. I like Sean's prayer this morning. His prayer was not just Christmas, but his prayer was about Easter as well. Christ came to die on a cross. Amen. He came to be resurrected. He came to bring salvation to man. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Do we praise God at Christmas? Are we praising God? The angels praise God. Glory to God was in their words. Glory to God in the highest was what they were shouting in that morning, that evening. The fact is they were saying, don't fear, but they were pointing to God and giving praise to God. I love the fact that they also were bringing peace on earth, goodwill to men. I like the song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. There's a couple of renditions of it. The old hymn is one that's wonderful. But there's also a newer version that I just love, and maybe we'll get to sing it this Christmas. But it's all a song about peace on earth, goodwill to men. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols say, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Have we forgotten that that's what God is about? That when He brought Christ into this world, He was bringing peace to mankind. He was bringing goodwill. I watch the news. You watch the news. I used to watch it a lot more. I used to be a news junkie. I'm glad I broke that habit. Amen? You break those habits. And I used to listen to a lot of talk radio. I used to drive quite a bit. And I would be filled with news. And you know, if you fill yourself with news, at some point you're going to be a little bit negative. News is always a little negative. It's always showing what was destroyed and how the problems are great and grand. I like one story in my thing last night. I was perusing through. I found a story on that tornado. And 150 miles away in a town in Indiana, a lady came out to her car and found a flyer on her car. She thought it was a flyer. She got closer to it and she found it was a picture. And on the back of the picture, it had the name of the individual and the date of 1940-something. I forget what day it was. And she realized that picture had flown in from somewhere. Somehow it had flown away. So she went in the house and she posted it on Facebook. And a family member that was a part of the tornado recognized the name and recognized the picture as one of their family members. And that picture was blown from the tornado 150 miles away and landed in Indiana. And they were able to get that picture back to the family. I don't know if there was devastation. I don't know if they lost their home. I don't know any of the details, but I know that's a nice story. I like that story. The picture came home, amen? That's not the way the news is it? Hard to find those messages. It's more easy to find the negativity. But when the angel came, they said, fear not, glory to God. And they says, look, I have peace on this earth, and I'm bringing you a goodwill toward men. Let us remember Christmas is about peace and goodwill. It's not about the presents you have under the tree. It's about the man or the person that brought the presents to you in a gesture of what? Of goodwill, of peace. Heard of the story of, in the Civil War, how the battle was raging World War I, the battle was raging. In the middle of the battle, Christmas Eve came, and it was at that night the two lines, as they sat there facing off, one after another, finally got up and left the entrenchments that they were in and met in the middle ground. And those two enemies at that particular time celebrated Christmas. Oh, the war was going to continue on, and we know how that ended. But for a moment in time, two enemies put aside their problems and shared a little bit of time together, goodwill toward men, peace on earth. There'll be a day when this world will have no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more war. But we're not in that day, are we? But Jesus Christ at Christmas brought goodwill toward men and peace on earth. So these angels, let's consider them this Christmas. Let's remember that the angels that attended were bringing a peace and comfort and glory to God and no fear. But number two, I want us to look at the person of Joseph. Joseph is another one that attended. Joseph is totally unique. And for Joseph, we're going to have to move our Bible just a little bit. Go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, first of the Gospels. As we learn a little bit about Joseph, we know that Joseph is the espoused husband of Mary. Joseph chapter 1, verse number 18,
It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto Mary, thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We see Joseph is an interesting character, and if I were to give a title to Joseph, he was a just and faithful man. That's what Joseph was. You know, I think our world needs a couple of men, a few more men that are just and faithful. We see a lot of men with gangster attitudes. Amen? Go to the mall on any given day, and you're going to find all sorts of different people. Any people watchers? All right, you go to the mall and you watch people. And you're going to find maybe a mom and a dad and kids are dragging the mom and dad. Maybe you'll find a woman dragging a guy through the mall, right? You ever seen that one? Like, he doesn't want to be there, but he's there because Wetzel Pretzels is there, and his wife is making him. Amen. That's it. That's all. But you also find these men that are they're gangster men. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to criticize. I don't know what their backstory is. I don't know who they are, but some of them are just too cool to step out of the way for anyone. You know, that's not the kind of men that we need. We need some men that are just and honorable men. Just and faithful. We need to find that Joseph brings a whole new dynamic to the Christmas story. We need to see and follow his tremendous character. Well, what are some of the character traits of Joseph? First, we see he was just. He was a just man. I want you to yourself in the place of Joseph for just a moment. Now, Mary and Joseph, the passage says that the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. But in verse 19, it says, but then Joseph, her husband. And so you say, wait, how can you be espoused and be a husband? That's kind of confusing, Pastor. I don't understand it. Well, let me explain. In the custom of that day, when a person was espoused, they were married in every area except in the intimacy area. They were committed one to another, wholly and entirely. They were expected to remain reserved one for another. And for Joseph to be espoused to Mary and Mary show up pregnant, that's a big deal in most people's minds. Amen? You got to understand, it would be an interesting conversation at the dinner table. So, Mary, what's new with you? Well, I had a good day. And by the way, I'm pregnant. Wouldn't you like to be there for that story? I imagine if he's any person like any one of us, in his mind, he had to have been wondering, wait a minute, Mary, we're espoused. You're supposed to be reserved unto me, yet you're with child. Something's not right here. Now, I'm sure Mary, I would imagine that Mary would have told him the story, but that seems a little far-fetched, I think. Well, no, it's God's child. Okay, Mary, right. But we see something interesting because it refers to Joseph. And in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. The term just means fair. It means he was willing to listen. He was willing to do right. Fair-minded. And you see, there was a problem. And yes, he didn't understand what it was, but he was not going to overreact. He wasn't going to be abusive. He wasn't going to just be of a wrong spirit. And the Bible says he was fair. He was just. Oh, if we could have some men that are fair today. If we could have some people that are just people that do right. Even when it's hard to do right. Somebody say amen. And you have to know that would be very difficult to handle. He was a just man. He was also a compassionate man, as we read on in verse 19. It says he was not willing to make her a public example. Mary's pregnant, and in the customs of that day, he could have taken her before the people, and he could have announced his displeasure, and They could have had her stoned immediately. But Just was compassionate. Or Joseph, rather, was compassionate. He was not willing to make her a public example. He wasn't willing to take her before the rulers of that day. He wanted to do things the right way. He was just and he wanted to be compassionate. Also, the Bible says in verse that he was a thoughtful man. The Bible says he was just and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately while he thought on these things. Many times, men, we can have more success if we would just calm down and think about the problem instead of overreacting. Somebody say amen. Ladies, say amen. We could say amen too. Sometimes we overreact. Sometimes we're not thinking straight. Our thinking is stinking. Amen. And Joseph was thoughtful. He wanted to figure it out. Mary must have told him the story. Mary must have, and he had to have wondered, why would Mary tell me that's so far-fetched? I got to think about this a little bit. I'm not going to overreact. I'm going to be right. I'm going to be righteous. I'm going to be compassionate to her. And I'm going to think this through. I don't want to overreact. Could we all learn from Joseph's today, though? Can you imagine if Joseph had not done what he was supposed to? Can you imagine what would have happened if he would have acted inappropriately? Yet we find that he was a just man. He was compassionate. He was thoughtful. And also, number next, he was obedient. In verse 20, it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be filled." Let's go down a little bit further. Verse 24, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him." He was obedient. He wasn't going to fight the system. He wasn't going to say, "I didn't sign up for this." Can you imagine you're espoused to a woman that has God as the child? Can you imagine the responsibility you're looking at right there? I've got to be the stepdad to God as he's being raised. I got the responsibility. I never signed up for this. Amen. He could have been thinking that. He says, "I didn't sign up for this is going to be complicated. This is going to be much more difficult than just getting married and going on and having life. This is going to be a new dynamic. I don't know if I want to do this." Yet we find Joseph was obedient. I praise God that Joseph was there in those early days. We don't know what happened to Joseph, but we know that he was there, and we know that he sheltered them and cared for them and took them into Egypt and such. And we know that Joseph was obedient. He was willing to do God's will over his own. You ever think that Joseph probably had some dreams in his life? Probably had some plans. Probably had some ideas what he was probably thinking. Well, we can name the first one Little Joe. Amen? Little Joseph. I don't know. Any person about to get married would have plans. And I want you to know that God's will was for his will to be done, not Joseph's. And Joseph yielded to that. God, he was willing to face discomfort to be obedient to God. From that moment on, Joseph would not be able to stay in the home that he was raised in. He would not be able to even stay in the country he was raised in. All his life was going to be changed. And he had to be willing to accept that. Are we willing today to be a Joseph? May I say this morning, he was just, compassionate, thoughtful man, and he was obedient. So we see the angel. We see Joseph. Now let's look at Mary. Mary is a unique one. I can't imagine being her. Ladies, can you imagine getting a message from God saying that you're going to carry the God himself, God in flesh? That would blow your mind. Now, we know that every young girl, it was prophesied in Isaiah years and years before, 700 years before, that this child would come. And every girl from that point on was probably thinking, could it be me? Or had a dream at some point. But Mary, what was Mary like that set her aside from the other ladies? And why did God choose her? Well, I have the title for Mary. Mary was a righteous, yielded vessel. And let's go back to Luke chapter 2, and we'll learn a little bit about Mary. I have two points for Mary, two thoughts that I can give you. Maybe we also apply these to our life as we look at the angels. We can remember, fear not, glory God, peace on earth. As we look to Joseph, we can remember his character traits as just and compassionate and thoughtful and obedient. But now Mary, what was the first thing for Mary? Mary was worthy. Luke chapter 2, verse number 26 gives a little bit of what God... I'm sorry, I don't think 26 is what I'm looking for here. It's a good verse, but that's not... Oh yeah, 26, I apologize. Verse 26, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death. That's not what I'm looking for. I apologize. 26 through 38 is great, but I'm not sure that's what I was looking for. I apologize. Let's look up here, go up into Mary and verse number 1 of chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there was out a decree from Caesar Augusta that all the world should be taxed. Verse 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone in his city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, the city of David, to be taxed. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, who is great with child. And she brought forth her first son. Verse 7, laid him in a manger. I'm getting there. Stay with me. Here it is right here. Verse number 19. But Mary kept all of these sayings in her heart and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things. I know where I'm supposed to be. Go back one page. I have chapter 2. It's chapter 1. Just clicked. Where am I supposed to be? And the Bible says in verse 26, that makes a lot more sense. Chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. We see that Mary, first and foremost, was worthy of bringing the child in. You know, I know there was probably a lot of girls in that day. And there were certain requirements, certain things that had to happen. But when God looked down from heaven and he needed someone, he looked down and he saw that Mary was highly favored of the Lord. We saw that she was blessed among all the women in that land. She was worthy to care for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse 28 and 29, it says, when she saw him, she was troubled at the sayings and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The truth of the matter is, she must have been kind of wondering, why were you picking me? And God says, you're highly favored, Mary. Look, you ever think that God wants to use you today, but many times we are our worst enemy? We hinder our own life by the actions or the attitudes or the thoughts that we have. Are we a worthy vessel for God to use this Christmas season? Are we trying to be pure? Are we trying to follow God's commandments? Are we trying to live in a close relationship with God? If God were to use us, could he? Mary was able to be used of God because she was living a lifestyle that God called it worthy, highly favored. And each one of us must be learned from Mary. And every one of us can be used of God this Christmas season, maybe to bring Christ to a friend or a neighbor, maybe for God to do something great in our life. But may I say this morning, we must come to a place where we are worthy of God's blessings in our life. We may never be perfect. By the way, Mary wasn't perfect. You know, some religions hold Mary up on a pedestal and make her as next to God. Hospital recently, and it was a Catholic hospital, and I went in and I saw the picture of Mary, and she was the center focus, and Jesus was just this little thing off on her lap. And they got it wrong. Mary was just a sinner that was worthy of carrying the Christ, amen, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But she was worthy. Not only was she worthy, but she was yielded. If there's anything Mary was, it was that she was willing to do whatever God said. In verse 38, after hearing all the message of God, after hearing what God wanted to do in her life, in verse 38 it says, and Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy words. And the angel departed from her. Truth of the matter is, she says, whatever you want, Lord, I'm willing. Are you willing for God to use you this week? Tomorrow when you go to work, are you willing to say, Lord, I want to be a Mary. Could you let me be used of you, Lord, whatever your will is? Not always is it easy. Not always will it be in your mindset. Not always will it be by your liking. But are we willing? So we saw the angel. We saw Joseph. Who else do we know? Anybody want to guess? How about the shepherds? We kind of looked at them last week. We're going to look at a couple of things on them. The shepherds were willing to listen and willing to spread. When we go back to Luke chapter 2, and I apologize for my mistake earlier, and we had to go to 1. Now we're back to Luke chapter 2. We see in verse 8 through 10 that the shepherds were willing to listen. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. You know, the fact is that evening that those shepherds were the only ones that heard the message of the angels. We know that there was no room in chapter 2, verse 7. It says that there was no room for them in the inn. Mary and Joseph had to find a place where animals were kept and where a place where the people were not around. And yet the angels came to the shepherds and spoke the truth. The fact is those shepherds were willing to listen. What were they willing to listen? They were willing to listen and they were willing to spread. We know in verse number 15, what did they do with that message? And it came to pass, the angels were gone away from them in the heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which God, which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known. Go down to the last part, verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We see these shepherds, they were listening. What were they doing? They were willing to share His glory. I can't imagine. I want you to put yourself into these folks' shoes for a little bit. Imagine you're a shepherd in the middle of the field at night. You've done this night after night. You've watched these sheep. You've cared and tended for them and made sure they were okay. You were there and there were other shepherds as well. And it was quiet just like every night. And then what happened? The glory of the Lord shone around them. The angels proclaimed the birth. And they were willing to go and see this wonderful truth. They left their sheep. They left their paddocks. They went and they glorified and saw God in the flesh, that babe there in the manger scene. They came back and they were willing to share that glory with all those around them. Think of Psalms 96, verse 3. It says, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all the people. And I don't know if they were thinking of that verse at that time, but they took the message, they took the vision, they took the babe that they had saw, and they shared it with everybody that they could possibly get to. Do we hold Christmas? Are we one of those that we don't say Merry Christmas because it might offend someone? I like what I said last week. You know, it used to be a big thing. I don't feel it. It's that big now. But remember back a little few years back, they didn't say Merry Christmas. Everybody was instructed. What do you have to say? Oh, Happy Holidays. No, I think we should say Merry Christmas. Or I think we should change holidays to Holy Days. Happy Holy Days. Amen. And see if they catch it, right? What do you mean Holy Days? Oh, yeah, it's a holy day. The birth of my Savior. We should be able to share His glory. Those shepherds went everywhere talking about it. Those shepherds were not quiet about it. They went and they recited what they saw to all that would hear about it. They shared the gospel. We need to be willing to share the glory. We need to be willing to share the gospel. The verse that God wants us to give, think of Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Oh, if we would have people that would realize the importance to be like the shepherds and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the shepherds didn't have the whole story, did they? They had the birth, but they didn't have the resurrection. That comes a little later. But they shared what they had. And maybe this Christmas we could share the gospel. We can share it openly. We can share it, the gospel to everyone, and we should share it boldly. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you ashamed of the gospel today? Oh, I hope not. God says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Are we willing to not be ashamed of our God? When you go out, could you be a shepherd and could you wish everyone and anyone a Merry Christmas? See, but Pastor, what if they don't believe in Christmas? That's all right, you do. Amen? You could wish them a Merry Christmas. If they don't want to take it, that's their problem. But I'm going to be wishing and letting people know that Christ is the center of Christmas. I have two more that maybe we haven't looked at in the years past. The man by the name of Simeon. We've looked at the angels. We looked at Joseph. We looked at Mary. We looked at the shepherd. But as I studied it out, I realized there's two more people that were right there at that time of his birth, right there at the time of the child when he was at the manger. It's not the shepherds. We may look at them at another time, but it's not the wise men. It's two others. The wise men, most commentators believe, came some 3 years after. But these people were right there. The first one is Simeon. Well, what is Simeon about? Well, Simeon is anticipating the Christ, looking forward to the Christ. Look with me at Luke chapter 2, verse 26. I think it's unique to say that there was a man that was wanting to see the Savior before he came. He'd been read about it. He'd looked into the scriptures. He had envisioned it. And the Holy Ghost said to him that he would not see death before he would see the Lord's Christ. Verse 26, and it was in verse 25, said, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout." I love those character traits. We can learn from him on that right there. "Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." This morning we see that Simeon was somebody looking forward to the day of Jesus' coming. Now let me say this today. The Messiah has already came. We know that. He's already been here. He was born in a manger. He was born and raised up, and he lived a life and did miracles, and he took our sins and he carried them to the cross, and he died, and the third day he rose again. And so we're not looking for the Messiah. What we're looking for is the conquering king, the coming of the second coming of Jesus. So if we were to look at Simeon, we need to be as Simeon was, and we need to be looking forward to the day of Jesus' coming as well. Simeon was looking forward to Christ. Let me ask a question this morning. If God showed up today, right now, this moment, would you be glad or would you have regrets? We say, "Oh Lord, could I just have one day maybe to witness to my brother? Oh Lord, could I have one more day to maybe stop doing what I'm doing and live for God?" Oh, because Simeon was living a life where he looked forward to the day of Jesus' coming. I'm afraid many in this land today would not be happy if Jesus came back right now. Oh, we're doing all right. We're all in church. Amen. Imagine those that stayed home. Oh, Pastor, I don't want to miss it. I want to be in church. What if Jesus came back right now? Would Jesus see us living for him? Looking for that precious moment, looking for that day. Do we live ready to meet him at any moment? That's the way Simeon lived. He rejoiced when he saw the Savior. He said, "Oh, now I can go on into glory." And I don't know if he was an old man. I kind of get the vibe that he's old. It doesn't give his age. Anna was old. Simeon, he could have been 20, he could have been 30, he could have been 60, it doesn't say. But whatever age he was, he says, "Now I can go on to glory." Why? Because I've seen the Savior, I've seen the Messiah. Praise God. And it doesn't matter what age you are, you ought to look forward to the coming of our Savior. You ought to look for it and be prepared for it. Anticipating Christ. Just as they looked for the Messiah, we should look for the rapture. And just as Simeon was ready to meet the Savior and was led by the Holy Spirit to that temple that day, we should be living our life for the Savior, that raptured moment, that moment to see him, and be led by the Holy Spirit as well. And then finally we see, in closing, we see one more character. Just a short message from Anna. In verse 38, we see verse 36 through 38, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and lived with her husband 7 years in her virginity, and she was a widow for about 40 years. And so for 40 years, years, she has been a widow that has devoted her life to serving God. Goes on to say, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in the instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake him of all that that looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. We see, what did Anna look for? Anna was seeing the hope of redemption. I don't know why God chose to bring Anna in. Maybe it was a fulfillment of to finish her life off well as well. But Anna, as 44 years of serving in the temple, fasting and praying, what do you think she was fasting for? I would imagine for redemption. When she saw the Savior, she saw the redemption had come. You know, when we look at Jesus Christ at Christmas, I would challenge you, even though I like the nativity, I think it's a beautiful representation here. I think we have a beautiful nativity. And we see that little baby down there, but don't look at that as a baby. Look at that as redemption. The birth of a Savior. That baby was going to pay for my sins. That baby was going to allow his brow to be beat down with the crown of thorns, and he allowed those nails to be pierced in his hands and in his feet. He's going to allow that to pierce his side. He was going to die on that cross to pay for my sin. Anna was looking for that redemption, and it showed up at the temple that day. What a joy. What an answer to her prayers. Let me say this for Anna and for us. There's no other name and there's no other hope than Jesus Christ. He is the redemption. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is our redemption. This don't make Christmas about anything else than Jesus Christ. We had a Christmas party last night, but I hope you all know, in my heart, it was all centered around Jesus Christ. We were here for Him. We were gathered for Him. We gave gifts for Him. And if we could express that to the world, if we could show that there's redemption, there's hope in Jesus Christ, then we will be just like Anna. We will be rejoicing in the redemption of a Savior. There's no other name. There's no other person. But also, there's no other payment. No other payment than Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Going on to verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know, Jesus Christ hung on that cross so that we wouldn't have to pay for our sins. That's redemption. We redeem things all the time. If you buy a soda at a store, you have to you get a charge, a 5-cent charge for some items, 10 for others. It's that California redemption program. You understand the where you have to pay a little extra. But what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take that bottle in and redeem it for your 5 cents. How many people do that? You got 3 people. Everyone else, bring your redemptions to me. I'll take care of it. Amen. Just bring it on in. All right. We're redeeming what we've lost. We lost the money, but we want it back. Amen. I want that money back. I paid for that. It's mine. I want it back. Give it back to me. Right. Some of you aren't getting it. You think, no, I don't want it ever back. I'll just throw it away. No, we redeem it. Jesus Christ looked at us. We're the old bottle. We're the old recycled bottle. And we're broken, but He wants us back. He's going to pay for it. He wants what's His back, and He redeemed us with His blood. He said, I paid for you. And Anna was looking for that redemption. Are we looking to our Savior as our Redeemer? So many characters we see in the Bible. Why did God put him in there? Well, I saw 6 people. We saw the angel. Peace, glory, goodwill. We saw Joseph, a just man, thoughtful, willing to do right. I hope we can be that today. We saw Mary, who was worthy to be called to this great task. To be the mother of God, that's a big deal. Amen? You're worthy. Blessed art thou among women. Maybe we could be a shepherd and share the gospel out. Take all that we see, all that God's done in our life and experienced and share it out. Could we be a shepherd today? Could we be a Simeon? And could we anticipate the coming of my Savior? Look forward to it every day. Well, you should get up every morning and do some jumping jacks just to get ready for the rapture. Amen? So you're ready to go. Just jump up into heaven. He's coming back, folks. Look forward to it. Or be an Anna who sees the redemption in Christ and glorifies God because he's brought redemption to this earth. Wow. To be redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercies. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this. Let's be one of these people. Heavenly Father, I think of these characters, these people that tended to Christ at his birth. They were there. They were at the birth, at the first few days after the birth. They were there to witness this baby and experience him. And they were all selected to be a part of something great. So Lord, I ask that you would do something tonight. Today, I ask that you would help us to be one of these people or all of these people. Let us find the attributes that we're missing and apply them to our life today. And Lord, let us be sensitive to being what we're supposed to be for you this Christmas season. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's